Time now to bring in Jim Lynch. It's Cover Your Assets. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, Wall Street, sports, politics, bringing all those years of experience together that we can talk about in the morning. Good morning, Jim. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Marshall. I'm very good. Very good. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. Can't complain. Yesterday, we learned of the death of a great American. And, folks, I know there's a lot of people out there writing a lot of different things. I have to signify a Colin Powell as a great American, a black American, became the first Secretary of Defense, and it goes from there. He passed away, complications from COVID, but really it was the cancer that he had that led the door open. It's, you know, a lot of people, Jim, talk about his speech at the United Nations, and here's all I'm going to say about that. When you're Secretary of State, and when you make a presentation, and when you call on your intelligence services to give you the reports so you can put together your speech, you rely on those reports. Well, he was let down on that, and he was made after it was found there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. He was made to be a scapegoat. Well, folks, he was part of an administration. That administration had intelligence, and the intelligence gave him all the background material. And as a military man, you have to learn to trust your intelligence. So I take that and I throw it out. I just think that he was a great statesman. He was a great American, and he will be missed.
I totally concur with what you said, including the bit on intelligence. There's another little key to that. He was a military man, and in that domain, you know, you're brought up to follow orders as people follow your orders. So it's a bit murky. But that said, he was a marvelous patriot, a marvelous person. And I've thought of him actually as one of the more the people who've made such a significant change in this country. He was favored to run for the Republican Party against Obama. John McCain was close, but not that close. And he elected to step back and say, no, here's an opportunity to make a change. And that change was, we'll weigh in history. It was one of the most marvelous things that ever happened, because he knew that Obama probably had what it took as a younger man to do certain things. And indeed, he was right. Obama had his own problems, but he also brought an energy to the and a use again to the White House that we haven't seen. So he was truly a patriot and a very unselfish man. And there's not much else you can say. This is what I guess we all should aspire to do the best we can with all we have. And he did that and then some.
And if you look at the roots and where he came from, I mean, this is a lifetime success story that really does show that it doesn't matter where you come from, what type of neighborhood, what type of environment, if you have a strong family and you have a strong family background and you want to pursue your goals, you can pursue your goals. It is a story, and I hope somebody makes a movie that is accurate on his life, because it would be an inspiration to show every American, whether they're black, white, red, brown, it doesn't matter. It will be an inspirational story, and you don't judge a person by one thing that went wrong in his life. And once again, like I said, he's a military man. He respects and trusts the intelligence, and that's what put him in the position he was in. And we need more people like Colin Powell around, not less. So,
amen.
All right. With that being said, go on, Jim.
This hour, you know, you mentioned how he he grew into greatness by all of the work he did, and it makes me think of Ali, Muhammad Ali. I just saw an incredible documentary is still running by Ken Burns, who's so wonderful at it. And Ali, on a physical basis, but then on a political basis, really rose to the top. And it's interesting in terms of making wrong decisions, right decisions. Ali opted out of the Vietnam War, and actually he lost at least 2 to 3 years of his young career as a boxer, but went on to great fame, and basically he would say, "I'm the greatest," and he actually lived up to that. So we really have periodically some great people coming forward, embellishing all that we have as human beings in terms of succeeding.
And what's interesting about Muhammad Ali is he probably became the most recognizable face in the world.
Yep. No question.
Yeah, that's
no question.
You know, it's one of those things. All right, I want to go to the economy for a second here, and I've been thinking about this for the past couple of months, looking at all these television ads for Carvana and all these internet sites selling cars, all these internet sites selling houses, the main one, Zillow. Well, if this isn't a canary in the coal mine, I don't know what is. Zillow has now put the brakes. It's not buying houses now. Why? Because they have to manage their backlog of inventory. This is a canary in the coal mine about how fragile the economy we are in right now.
There's no question about it. And hedge funds and other companies or investors, more substantial than this one, have also been playing that game of buying up inventory during the crises of the pandemic as people were looking to get out. And I can assure you, many of them have inventory as well. There's no question about it. It's a little bit reminiscent, since we're talking about housing, of the crisis that we saw in the 2006-07 period, when we had all kinds of things going on in the housing market, which was certainly improper and actually criminal, and it resulted in a huge belt to the economy. This kind of situation apparently is like that. We'll see how it materializes. But the point is, if you've got an inventory of houses that will say the average, of course, these people do this all over the country, the average price is $250,000 bucks or $300,000. Well, carting that inventory around costs you money, even at these low interest rates. And that's how people got into this speculation, because basically you were getting money really on the cheap, and you went out and you paid whatever you paid for a home. But as the clock ticks, it's like in all investments, as the clock ticks with the interest rate versus your cost versus your ability to sell something, it really becomes quite treacherous in terms of investing, or shall we say speculating.
You know, I want to go back to another canary in the coal mine. Carvana is what I'm going to settle in here, Jim. When we had the big financial crisis, where, of course, all the mortgages that were given on housing and stuff like that were just written without background and sold in packages, and it created a huge problem in this country. Well, Carvana, like it seems like a good idea, and it probably is, but what Carvana has done is they don't sell cars necessarily, Jim. You know what they sell? They sell financing. They have set up their own financing for people to go on the site. They get a review, and the credit is assigned to them. Now, if you buy a car on Carvana as opposed to going to your own local bank, your interest rates are going to be higher. And if you are at risk, if you are somebody that can't really afford that automobile, you pay a much, much higher interest rate. And what Carvana would then do when you can't meet the payments after a certain amount of time, they'll come take the car back. This is just, instead of being the housing market crisis, this is just another section of the economy that is being built on a house of cards.
No question about it. And this is, again, the opportunity these people have, like Carvana, and the risk involved in these low, low interest rates. And the banks, many of whom finance these kinds of things, they've got all kinds of money, courtesy of the Federal Reserve, basically, not so much just keeping rates very low, but providing, through their secondary market operations, millions and millions of dollars in cash that is just laying there for the banks to put somewhere. You can't put it all in the stock market, so you begin to diversify and you look for bigger returns on your investment. And, you know, the banks are as complicit as these companies because they're the ones who have the cash, and they give the cash out. Now, Carvana's game is when they get the car back, first of all, they'll write it off as a loss, X amount between what the car is actually worth when they take it back and what they sold it at. So they'll take a loss on that, and then they'll go and resell it to someone else with the idea that, well, it's a used car, but, you know, look at the price and this and that and the other thing. So you're absolutely right, and these are areas that the average person you're pointing out to the average person doesn't pay attention and can't pay attention to everything like this, but this is a tremendous risk. The focus is on the stock market, and it's going up or it's going down and this and that, and people are not aware of these instruments that have been created because of cheap money and the banks just needing to fund wherever they can fund.
You know, Jim, I'm not a person that knows a lot about the economy, but when I was much younger, I tried to do something, and I tried to do it via funding. I purchased three different houses many, many, many years ago when I lived in Kingston, New York. One in Kingston, one in a very nice neighborhood, Hurley, and then one on the Hudson River, which was in foreclosure. I purchased them all together, and I lived in one of them, and I had an incredibly low interest rate. Well, that happened to be the time where everything went haywire, and interest rates in the course of, I think it was maybe 3 months, went from very low. My interest rates went from like 3% interest on the loan to 24%. And to protect myself, I had to declare bankruptcy. And it took me many years to get out of that. And so I sit here now, and if I needed something to purchase on credit at that time, my interest rates were exorbitantly high. Now I'm lucky enough where I have terrific credit. If I want to buy something and I have to finance it, I can get a low interest rate. I think there's so many Americans out there that want the American dream, whether it's a car, whether it's a house. They overlook the financial responsibility that they have and don't understand that when you finance too much, which happened back in the original stock market crash, when you put too much on financing, something goes wrong, you lose everything, and you lose it in the blink of an eye.
Well, you not only lose monetarily, you give up a piece of yourself in the arduous process of going through something and getting out of it. You really spend a lot of your valuable time worrying, being concerned. You just make yourself miserable by doing it. And this is why anytime you invest in anything, you really have to have a clear goal in mind in terms of what you're looking for, and a clear, clear eye on what you're investing in. And finally, evaluate what is your risk, what is truly your risk posture. Well, where are you comfortable? Now, risk is risk, but where are you comfortable in taking a risk? And if you've analyzed that just that way, just analyzing yourself, and you figure out, well, here's what I can handle. It won't really keep me up late at night if it goes awry for a while and there is an out somewhere here and there. Then you proceed, and probably you'll make a very successful investment because you're looking at something that's pretty good. It satisfies you as the individual investor, but it's something that would satisfy somebody else. So you get over the tremendous hit that you take to your head and sometimes to your body when you get into these financial situations which have gone awry. And, you know, if it's too good to be true...
It's too good to be
it's
true.
It's too good to be true. That's the saying. So when you look at investing, that's what you've got to do, be it in a car or a house or a stock.
All right, we have about 5 or 6 minutes left. I want to go to the January 6th Commission. Today is the day where they are reportedly going to press criminal contempt charges against Steve Bannon.
Well, they're voting that in the House as to whether they're going to go forward. And I think you'll probably get a narrow victory. And then it goes from there to the Department of Justice. And they've got to make up their minds. I don't think there's anything to make up. Our government has been... basically, people have said, we're against the government and we're going to prove it. And we're going to attack the Capitol. So it should be easy for the DOJ to say, fine, we're going ahead. Steve Bannon is someone who wasn't working in the Trump White House. He was a private citizen, but he has a big mouth, and he's got this insane streak of I don't know what it is. It's too easy to say he's a nut because he's very smart. But he's trying to take this kind of government down and put it in the hands of dictators. And if you look around the globe, you'll find out that dictatorship doesn't work out too well for the average Joe. So I would expect DOJ will do the work. And basically, if he doesn't show up, they're going to put him in jail. And probably put him in jail before they make some final thing, get him off the street. He is subject to a $100,000 fine and 1 year in jail for saying no to the subpoena. Justice has got to do this. Okay, it just does. It's not about Bannon. Justice has got to do this with all of these people who the the Congressional Committee has called forward. Why? We were attacked as a nation, as a democracy. We have the wherewithal to stand up and correct it and penalize those people, penalize these people who did this horrendous thing. It's all like the Civil War again. The Civil War was when people said, no, we're not part of the government, and we're going to fight you for our capital, which at that time was human beings who were enslaved. But the point is, I've had this thought several times in the last week or so, If we had punished at least the heads of the of those who went against the federal government, namely in Civil War, primarily Southerners, I think it would have gone a long way to prevent the breeding of this violence, this breeding of I know what's right and this government's not right. We didn't punish that sufficiently enough. And then it got lost in the political sewer, and we've developed a country where we have people who really think, oh, I don't care about the USA. I'm Mr. Whoever. And so this is very important. If we don't get subpoenas, if we don't get people locked up who don't come forward, this is just another step towards disaster.
All right. Well, guess what? We're out of time already. We won't talk about
sometimes
the
Sometimes it goes fast when you're having fun.
We won't talk about the Giants or the Jets, but we'll give the Boston Red Sox their cue. They're 2-1 lead now in their division series, and the Atlanta Braves are ahead 2-0. We'll end on the high note there, Jim, and we'll speak to you next week.
You got it.
Take care.
Talk to you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.